Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyCars.ie, get low prices and save on your car insurance today at InsureMyCars.ie.
This is the first Glory Days podcast, PJ and Jim podcast, where PJ Gallagher is 50 years old.
Both of us are in our 50s. Happy birthday to the old men who are mostly closer to death. Happy birthday.
So, your first podcast in your 50s.
Yeah, look at that. Woo! Isn't that amazing? Jeez, we did it. Oh, God, I nearly broke the microphone.
Something's fallen off already.
The only thing older than us is the microphone I'm using. But, yeah, what an absolute celebration. Jesus, the biggest one you'll ever have is your 50th birthday. Yeah. Some people are saying, oh, what if you get to 100? What about it? I'll be fucked at the best. I'll be, you know, if you do make it. Yeah. Chances are you won't. The average life expectancy is way lower than that. So this is it, half dead, best case scenario, definitely the most fittest I'll ever be for a birthday I'll have again, a roundy one anyhow. And yeah, I get my retirement, my pension in 5 years.
5 years?
5 years.
How did you manage that?
I had corporate pension when I went into the limited company. There's $3,000 in that. So I get to that. That's right. Retirement sorted.
Grand, okay. So yeah. So I shouldn't expect you to run out the door. And...
No, that's $3,000. I'll be spending that on a hat or something. And a retirement hat and jacket.
To be fair, yeah. In 5 years' time, $3,000 might get you a hat.
If you're
lucky.
Put a pair of socks. Off shoes and a present for and a dinner for Jim, something soupy because he won't have a tooth left in his head.
I'd be consuming most things through a straw by that stage. That's true.
But isn't it mad that even to think of that, you know, even to think of it when you think of pensioners back in the day when we were young, you think they were the old lads who were absolutely bollocks walking around the place, you know.
Yeah.
And then you think I am literally now 5 years from being a I know it's a chancy pensioner thing,
right?
But I am 5 years from cashing in
from at least a pension.
From
anyway.
Cashing in a four-digit pension now. We're not messing around here.
It is mad though, right? As you say, right? It'll be the same for every kid, right? You see, if you say to a kid who's I don't know 10 or something, you know, is a 50-year-old an old pair? Yeah,
oh,
absolutely.
Geez,
they're very old.
Ancient.
We would have thought, and mind you, the difference is right that now you at 50, you don't feel 50. I know you. Well, you know.
Oh, I suppose I
mean, God knows you look it, but you don't feel 50. You don't feel 50.
Not quite, no.
You don't feel old.
No, I don't, no. Right. I'm getting there, but no.
And the thing about it is, right, when you and I were kids and you saw a 50-year-old.
Oh, jeez.
I mean,
you'd
never see a 50-year-old in jeans, unless it was their work uniform or something.
Or they were like a head case or,
I mean,
you know, a criminal or something like that.
Like, they'd be... They'd have to be. They'd be in knitwear for the start.
Yeah,
they'd almost certainly be in knitwear unless they were wearing a shirt. Actually,
yeah.
Shirt and tie and knitwear, maybe.
Yeah, the only Americans or only people that wore jeans in their 50s were Americans or criminals.
Yeah,
and that was it.
And they'd have a very coiffed head of hair
they
had hair,
a bouffant,
parted and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they'd have the egg in a nest.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, a comb over style
and
or whatever.
They would look as though they had given up on life about 10 years earlier.
And they did. And they did give up on life at probably 15 years earlier.
Yeah.
Like, I remember being in school, we were in primary school, and the new teacher coming in and all, or the old teacher or whatever, and you'd be like, Jesus, she's ancient. She's like 28.
Yeah.
28 or something, and you'd be like, Jeez, look at them. They're all so dowdy by comparison to what we would be like, you know.
Well, I mean, it is true. I know there's memes go around or whatever, but it's true. Like, if you see a 50-year-old from, even from the 80s, what am I saying, even from the 80s?
Yeah.
That goes to show how old we are. That's 40.
That's literally historical
more.
memories of history. You know.
If you see them, I mean, it's a very specific look.
We age at different speeds to the generations before us. There's no doubt. David Beckham's 50. There you go. I know we're all not like David Beckham. We're not saying that we are before you lose the run of yourselves. It's not like me and Jim were looking at ourselves in our smalls this morning before we left the house going, Jesus, I'm life in the old castle yet. You know, there's none of that going on. But we're definitely, bear with me on this, closer to David Beckham than we are to the average 50-year-old of the 1980s.
True.
We are.
Yeah.
I know that sounds bizarre. I'm not saying that means we're close to it. I'm just saying that's just a weird sort of fact because you can still be casual and like, you know, semi-cool and all that. And
like, look at you. You always rock around in your hoodies and your runners and your jeans and...
Yeah.
But I mean, that's allowing for the fact you have always said you are like down with the cool kids on the street.
You know the way, Jim, I never lost the lingo. You know, I still know the jive.
Yeah. That's probably what keeps you young.
It is. And there's a lot of jazzy cats out there ask me on the street, whoa, how do you remain the grooviness? And I'm like, I just remain the grooviness by being out there on those, rocking those paths with my sleepy snoopers, you know.
The other thing is, like you said, a 50-year-old in the 80s,
yeah,
he definitely felt, I probably don't have a long, you know, there's not that long.
Not at all.
I mean, you and I, right? Okay, even we could get optimistic.
Yeah.
And if we get optimistic, we could think, there might be 20 years in us, you know.
Yeah, 70, yeah. You still got, right, a good healthy 20 years, you know, right? You think, there's a good 20 years of healthiness.
You weren't thinking that when you were 50 in the 80s.
Sorry. You were like, I'm fucked. I'm fucked, mate. That's how you talk to your friends now. How are you getting on? Oh, not long left, mate. You know, like those old detectives and all you saw on the shows, and they're like, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. I was in the doctor yesterday, and how bad is it? He wouldn't even know he was supposed to be in the doctor. How bad is it? Not good.
Yeah.
Not good, yeah. I've got a hairy spleen. Oh, Jesus. I heard that's bad. And then, the advice you got for health then, you know.
Yeah.
Remember, whiskey every night before bed, yeah? He'd be like, yeah. Keeps the hair off the spleen. Keeps it off your head too, but what are you going to do? You have to stay alive.
It's like things when, you know, when if somebody died, that expression of they had a good innings or they had a good run.
Had a good run.
Like, you had a good run if you were in your 60s, in the 80s.
Isn't that it?
Nowadays, if somebody croaks in their 60s, it's like, Jesus, that was very young, wasn't it?
Yeah. You're like, your whole life ahead of them. I suppose nobody said that. No one's going to say that. Now, imagine one of us dying tomorrow. Like, and that is true. Nobody would say. They would say very young. They would say that. Jesus, very young to die.
Yeah.
And, oh, he seems so healthy. He seems so fit. Or he seems so full of life. You'd say that.
But they never turn around saying life is only beginning for him.
They never say, getting going. Poor Jim, his whole life ahead of him. You know, your three bald sons wouldn't be there going.
Oh my God.
He's only a young fella. I'd like to say, by the way, Jim's sons do have, they all have their own hair. It's fully down their back. They're all there.
It's just an
analogy.
So I assume that means then in years to come, 50 years from now, somebody who's 50 will think, I'm exactly halfway there. I'll have at least another 50 years of good health ahead of me.
Yeah,
If things go the way they keep going.
I can't see it. I think we're peaking. We're peaking.
No, but we might end up in the future. We might end up like Trigger's brush.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? You're still going, but most of you has been replaced.
Exactly, yeah. Changed the head and body a few times.
Exactly.
But basically the same person. Same psychology. Yeah.
The sort of mentality, the personality's there, but your bits have been renovated.
Yeah, it's all that, you know. And it's gassed. You know, people say, you know, you get to a stage, Marty said it there earlier, you get to a stage in your life, you know, where you just don't care anymore. I'm
waiting for that now.
I have to say, it's the other way for me. You've always cared. You care about everything. You're always, you know. But I think I didn't care for a long time. But the older I get, the more I'm going, wait a minute, what the fuck is going on in the world? I think I'm going the other way. You know, people are like, you know, I don't care what people think of me anymore, or I don't care what goes on. I don't care the world. I just, like, if I don't consume it, it can't consume me. I'm the other way. I'm like, the fuck's going on? What? AI and all is trying to figure out how to get out, how to rob me pension. It's $3,000 in there. You know, I'm starting to worry more.
Yeah.
About stupid stuff.
It was like,
you know, what's that woman doing over there and all?
One of the biggest shocks I ever had is that time you came in here, and this is a year or two ago maybe, and you were all uptight because somebody's cat or something or somebody's dog was shitting on your doorstep.
Yeah, I got it.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And you'd have never been
outside the door in North Strand, so she was letting her dog shite. I was there, I'll catch you. It was a regular thing.
You sort of turned into that person who watches their bins or whatever.
I did.
Momentarily.
No, I never would have done that. I was like, when I was young, I'd stand over the shit. I'd pick it up in a shovel and just throw it away. I wouldn't care.
Yeah.
But then I was there going, no, this is a vendetta. That bleeding, that poodle is it out for me. Yeah. You know, that this is Mark and his territory. It's not your territory, it's my territory.
Because that's the thing, isn't it? You see, that's what ends up happening. You do get territory becomes important.
Oh,
to you. You do get a little bit sort of like, this is my garden.
Because your world shrinks.
It does.
It does, because you're young. You think, I can go anywhere, right? You start thinking, yes, I'm Jimmy from Finglas, right? But the world is my lobster. I can go to Spain. I might end up living in Canada. I might go to Australia. I might go to the fucking moon. Who knows? I might be the first Finglas. On the moon.
Finglasian
on the moon. And then, as time goes by, you realise, I'm not going to the moon. And then you go, I'm not even going to learn moon language. I'm not going to do these things. And then you go, I actually like what I do. I don't want to do... And then you start backing away. And then your ambition to go to the moon becomes, I wouldn't mind going to Spain once a year.
Yeah.
And then you start going, actually, I just don't want to... This is my garden.
Yeah.
And then you're like, fuck off, an alien.
And let's face it.
But that's what happens.
Particularly as a bloke, as you get older. It, as you say, it keeps shrinking and shrinking a little bit until you end up in that... that bloke that goes, that's my feckin' chair. I always sit in that chair.
Yeah, that's it. You come
in. We've loads of chairs, but that's my chair. It's got me arse marks in it and everything.
Someone comes round to your house and sits in it, and you're like, what the fuck?
Where am I going?
I suppose I'll just stand up in my own house, will I, all day? I suppose I'll just stand here while the guest. Yeah. Do you want to go upstairs and try on my underpants as well?
Paid for that, did you?
Go on upstairs and try on me caxi, bastard.
Well, I send the missus up after you. Go on.
That's the way it is, yeah. That's the way it is. I'll make my own tea.
You're so right. That's
it. The world shrinks. The world shrinks as you get older. It does. There's just no way around that. That's just your world shrinks. Your belly gets bigger. Your hairline gets smaller.
Marty as well. I remember a couple of years ago, Marty. Actually, I think it was when... Maybe it was only last year when he turned 50 or whatever. And this is absolutely true. Randomly, out of nowhere, he asked me, he said something about a leaf blower. And he'd asked me where I got it.
Yeah.
And there was these couple of texts going back and forth or whatever. And then you suddenly realise, now you're two blokes talking about a leaf blower.
But this is what I always say about Jim. Like, you know the way some people would be, if their dying wish, there is people in the world of all ages, and their dying wish would be, delete my browser history. Don't let anyone see what I'd be looking at on the internet.
Yeah.
Don't let anyone. Thank God I'm not one of those people, you know. And Jim is one of those people, but not for the reasons you think.
Yeah.
Because Jim doesn't want to be remembered as, he's being here, and honestly, you'd be seeing me go, holy shit, looking at his phone. I'm like, what happened? Thinking there's a world event. He goes, they're after getting step ladders and little there. 5 steps. That's what I needed to get to the back of the hedge. Unbelievable. And that plastic, that laminate gutter troweling that I've been waiting for has arrived. I better get in before the queue.
I'm telling you.
That's it. You start looking forward to things.
It happens.
The most mundane stuff you start looking forward to.
You are that person who you know, ends up outside your house, you know, and you're looking, going, I must fix that gutter. I might get that done on Saturday.
Yeah.
Whereas once upon a time, Saturday was like, that's it, meeting the lads. We're going full on. We'll start down the local. We'll jump in a Joe Maxi. We'll head into town. We'll do whatever. Right. Yeah. Probably, I might, you know, who knows what the night might hold.
Went out and Dublin, woke up in Offaly.
Yeah.
Never even heard of Offaly.
Absolutely. Can't wait to get
the,
you know,
care.
Get the gear
Devil
on.
Devil may care.
Absolutely.
Living the life the whole lot.
Now it's like Saturday I might get a chance to fix that gutter. Look, there's a bit of a leak there.
We'll get in.
Any polyball?
Let's go in and get into Aldi everywhere before the rush. What time? 8:10. We'll get in,
I tell you, and again, go back to that idea of what it was like, you know, like there was a time when shopping centres was like the equivalent of going to the zoo. That was a day out. You went to the shopping centre.
Oh, it was brilliant.
Literally, window shopping was like, it was a pastime.
Pastime.
You weren't looking for it and you had no intention of buying it.
Going to the ILAC was like going to LA for the weekend. It's like going to LA. Going to the ILAC.
Yeah.
You walked into the ILAC centre, your ma put you in the fountain for a wash. And there was all the L1s outside selling the boots. If you were lucky, you bought a pair of Docs for a tenner or something. They'd find one left and try and find the right that fits you. And then you'd say you knew one of their mates and they'd give you 20 pence off or something. And you'd go into the ILAC and there was like proper, like Burger King and all was in it. And the lifts that looked like rockets and everything.
Yeah.
And you were like, this is like Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. This is amazing in here. I love this place. You know, like, and when you think of the size of the ILAC, it's the size, it's really small. Like it's the size, it's even smaller than Leitrim. And you're walking around and it felt like this colossus. It felt like you were in JFK Airport for the day.
Yeah.
Or something.
And that's the thing. And like, you know, the other thing is you'd only go to ones that were on your side of the city.
Oh, no, you wouldn't go over to the south side. No,
because
like, all day.
She wouldn't know where you'd be.
Ah, no.
If you
no.
went to the other side of the city, like, Mike, I mean, not that Dundrum and all those places existed then, but
no,
I don't know.
No, but sure, what was there? Even Thomas Street.
Nutgrove. Jesus, you'd never go to Nutgrove.
No.
Sure, how the hell would you find your way there or back?
Even Thomas Street. My man be there. Frawley's on the south side. I'm not going to Frawley's.
That's right. Yes, we'll go to Guiney's on the north side.
Byers is on... Byers is right here. You go to Byers. You know, Thomas Street was considered miles away.
I'm telling
you.
When I was a kid growing up, the idea of going to Grafton Street...
Yeah,
you may as well have said to somebody, I'm going to Paris.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you?
Jeez.
Honest to God.
What language do they speak on Grafton Street?
Yeah.
I know Grafton Street. You go there once a year for Switzers to see Santa, the moving windows.
Absolutely.
If you're one of the kids, that was all.
God forbid you'd actually try and go into Bewley's. I don't even know how that used to work.
Well, Jim as an adult couldn't go into Bewley's. Jim saw Bewley's as an adult. I don't know, he was what age you were, and he was looking at it.
I thought it was like the Ritz to me.
And yeah, he was like this.
I'll never know what they're even talking about. I don't know how to order.
Jim was standing on Grafton Street in his bare feet. Holding his hat in his hand. And he had two shillings left from his week's work, and he was afraid to go in because he thought they'd ask him what way he wanted something and he wouldn't know. That's a true story.
I was afraid I wouldn't know the systems that they'd be operating, you know, in Bewley's, because it'd be like, oh my God, this big ornate building on Grafton Street, like, which to me was the richest part of all of Dublin. And I was afraid to go, what happens if it turns out I don't have enough money?
Yeah, isn't it gas? And we just go, in the real world, you go, oh, sorry, how much? Oh, no, you're all right. But you'd be freaking out.
I was probably only looking for a breakfast. I probably had about, you know, I might have had about 50 quid on me. Yeah. And I still thought, that might not be enough though.
Yeah, no, you need to be able to buy a house and all for a loose change going in there.
But that's
why this is the old man podcast, wasn't it? It's all the remembering of all of that carry on. Jeez, it's mad. It really does.
So I reckon that's the next segment of your life. Then it's basically just that what happens is you live your life, right? So you're living your life. You get to say 50.
Yeah.
And then you stop living your life and you just start remembering
the rest of it.
You don't actually do any more living anymore. You just remember the stuff that went before.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah, because because that's it. You're not counting on new experiences. You're counting on enjoying the old ones and trying not to have an embarrassing death now. That's a huge part going forward for me.
An embarrassing death.
Yeah.
So it's not death that worries you. It's the fact that it might be a little bit embarrassing.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Right. I worry a lot. You know, I know people who've died from, you know, alcohol and diseases and everything. And some of it, you know, in a way, self-inflicted. You know, my dad with the cigarettes and everything. But the thing is, I really do think that eventually they'll be like, what happened? And he ate too many Easter eggs. What? He ate loads of Easter eggs and he got so very sick. And they can't get the chocolate out.
All his arteries and everything just clogged up with chocolate.
Yeah, and I can see me kids.
He went out on a cold day and it all froze in his veins.
Yeah, and I can see me kids coming into me going, they said there's nothing they can do with that. Why? He says, you ate too many chocolates. He says, you keep calling them chomplets as well. And they're like, I've forgotten what they're normally called. This is chocolates, Dad, not chomplets. You have to stop saying chomplets. You're 93 up there. And you're after eating yourself to death with Easter eggs. Again.
Chocolate poisoning.
You got chocolate poisoning again. And he says they caught you snorting a refresher off the toilet. You crushed it up because you want... Oh, they did, yeah.
Yeah.
And I
thought you'd learned from that time you nearly blew your head off with the excessive popping cup.
candy. Do you remember that? Oh, yeah. I thought it was sherbet. It wasn't sherbet, Dad. You have to stop. And that's the sort of thing, you know. I could see myself too, yeah. He was caught with cigarettes. My dad, candy cigarettes. I don't know where he fell. Not made them since the 70s. He's in there, he's got 2,000 of them in the socks.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. Yeah, we didn't. Luckily enough, I suppose, for us, we didn't have to pay for his headstone. It was sponsored by Cadbury's.
It's literally a solid block of chocolate. A dog ate it.
Oh, what a way to go.
Yeah.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. With
InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at InsureMyCars.ie.
Now, if you want other things though in your life, I don't know, maybe you want love. Maybe you want a new job. Who knows?
Who knows?
But whatever it is, who'd have thought that the colour you have on could have a huge influence on whether it goes well or not.
Yeah, now we've all heard about colour therapy and all that to some degree. You know, famously, the dressing room of a big venue is called the green room because green is like a relaxing colour or whatever, you know.
Right.
And people always say, you know, if you wear red, you're a fiery sort. And if you wear black, you may be not the most cheerful type. But nobody ever knew that, well, what they're saying now, these are great. So, for example, if you are going on a first date and you want that first date to have a long-lasting impression that may end up being the relationship of your life.
Right.
With the one that you love, you should wear a gold-hued garment.
Gold?
Gold. So you should turn up like Tom Jones in the 1970s. The sideburns and the medallion out. And go, hey, baby, pussycat.
Gold and not just a piece of jewellery, like gold-hued clothing.
Gold-hued car. And that's
so in other words, so rock up there in your gold tracksuit.
Yep, that's it.
Looking like a rapper from the...
Yeah, yeah.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
I'm Jimmy from Finglas. What are you going to do? What do you think about...
Yeah,
that's the way to do it.
That's quite the statement. And that's supposed to get you a relationship for life, is it?
That's it. That's
so another, so you rock
25%
up,
better chance, they say.
You rock up wearing a pair of Robert Sheen's gold pantaloons.
Yeah.
You know, his MC Hammer his gold
Aladdin
pants.
Yeah, Aladdin big Aladdin pants. Gold Aladdin pants.
There you go. Pair of gold Aladdin pants.
Yeah.
That's
and,
it.
And she'll look at you and go,
I'm a keeper, baby.
Yeah, she'll be there. There's a fella that's taking me seriously. I love that man.
Wow.
Likewise, she'll turn up with a, you know, I don't
to
know,
be fair,
a golden headband.
To be fair, you would assume somebody would look at you and go, well, I'll tell you one thing for him. He's got plenty of self-confidence.
That's true.
So, you know, if you can carry that off.
And if he can commit to those trousers in public, he can definitely commit to me.
Yeah.
Blue as well, they say, is what you would wear if you want to land your dream job. This is a bit of light blue. A bit of light blue for your dream job. I suppose light blue can put a bit of colour in your face, can't it?
Yeah, you see, that's the way I would do that now, because I'd be a bit on the pale side.
Yes, yes, transparent, actually. When James opened the shirt the other day, I could see his heart.
So I would do that on the... Because it is meant to be, you know, brings out the browns and... You know, tans in you maybe if you wear the right kind of...
Brings out the browns.
You know, in your face, in your skin tone. Your skin tone makes it a little bit less pasty. That's what I'd heard.
Is that true, yeah?
I don't know.
There you go. What about
like, for example, if I was to wear now grey or whatever now, I'd just look... I'd look like that spitting image puppet of John Major. Well, you know what I mean? Well, I'd be just washed out.
Well, you might end up with a new best friend.
Why?
Because they say silvers or greys, like especially silver, is a way to more likely to meet a good friend if you're wearing silver. So, I don't know how that works or how you... But it says, meet a new best friend if you wear silver. Yeah, that's what they say.
So, shine...
Turn up with your silver slip-ons.
Silver shiny pants or a silver... So, if you go full quiz show host with a silver jacket...
Yes.
That's friendship, is it?
That's friendship, for life. Yeah, because everybody sees someone with silver suits and silver pants and goes, oh I bet that guy is fun.
Do you not end up just looking
like... I can hang out with that guy.
Looking like a mackerel. No.
Suppose you do, don't you?
That reminds me of those
suits. What are you looking like from
those suits, those Miami Vice suits from back in the day?
With the rolled up sleeves.
Yeah. They were always kind of silvery kind of tones, weren't they?
And that's who hasn't said it at least once? You know, what are you looking for from a friend? I just want someone that looks like a salmon. I just want a fishy sort of a guy who can cheer me up.
Wow.
Orange says they give you the... this one's brilliant. Orange, if you want, looking for a pay rise, apparently it gives you the edge in negotiations if you turn up wearing orange.
Well, they do say orange is the new black, eh?
Yeah, imagine Jim corning up in his orange tuxedo. Oh, God.
Yeah.
He's looking for a pay rise again.
Wow, yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
You can look at this. And imagine that. Orange.
Orange, yeah. Imagine turning up in your...
For a pay rise.
Your Dutch football jersey and your orange dicky bow. Hi, boss. I'd like to ask you a question.
Yeah. What message is that meant to give off that would make you worthy of a...
I don't know.
And hey, you'd hate to lose this. Look at me.
And here's another one. Yellow activates the sympathetic system. So if you want people to feel more sort of, you know, I suppose empathy towards you, you wear yellow. Well, I suppose I do. I'd feel sorry for anyone that put on yellow and thought it was a good idea.
Yeah.
There definitely was.
To be fair, yeah.
I'll be there. Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. If you, in fairness, yeah, if you saw a lad in a full yellow outfit, you would think there's a lad that definitely needs a bit of help.
Yeah, you'd be, yeah, oh yeah. My God, he's wearing a yellow baseball pass. Oh God, he's got the gold pants on too. Jeez, he's looking for a low value loan.
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova with
InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at
InsureMyCars.ie. Thing about it is, obviously, we're hurtling towards summer. That's the plan, at least. Hurtling towards summer. And, of course, the touristy thing will kick in full swing if it hasn't done already.
Yeah, it's begun.
And of course, you know, the thing about it is, you know, lots, obviously, you know, there's different ways of looking at the tourism thing. A lot of people say, you know, oh, God, Ireland's so expensive now and it puts tourists off. And
that's probably a truth in that somewhere.
There might be a bit of that in it. Well, is it that, though? Or is it that they just don't understand us?
They don't understand us. They don't understand us in some way, and it's not their fault, you know, in ways we don't understand them either. I mean, cultural differences are to be noticed, initially ridiculed, then accepted, and then we use them to unify each other as good human beings with a sense of humour. That's the way I think.
Right. So what is it they don't understand about us when they come here, then?
Well, when they come to Europe in general, there are certain things they don't understand. Like, it doesn't happen so much in Ireland, but the idea of having to pay to go to the toilet shocks Americans. It shocks them. You know, like, you know, when you're in Stephen's Green and you go, I'm just going to go to the toilet, and then somebody goes, that's €2. You're like, €2? €2 to relieve myself?
Yeah.
That's the worst American accent of all time, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
they just don't.
I forgot
understand
about that now. That particular thing in the top of Stephen's Green there, because I was thinking, I thought you meant those places there where you had to have change. Remember, there was those public toilets where you had to put money in.
Yeah,
the spending of a penny.
Yeah, but more modern ones. There used to be someone in Stephen's Green that you had to pay. I remember going up to her and saying, 2 pools, please, for me and the other lad. And so what could you do? That was the way it used to be back then. She said you didn't have to be just so descriptive. A pee in a pool, it was a 2-for-1 deal by all accounts.
Yeah.
But they can't really get their heads around that. You have to do that around Europe. Even in some pubs in Amsterdam, you would buy a drink in the pub, then go to the toilet and you'd have to pay again.
Yeah. There are still, you know, even if they don't afford, there are still a lot of places that does rub them up the wrong way.
Oh, definitely.
You know, you just walk in straight off and go, sorry, your toilets are, or whatever. And they know they're not getting anything out of you.
Yeah,
not a cup of coffee, not a drink, not a sandwich, nothing.
So in Europe, in a lot of places, they go, no problem, it's £2. You're like, £2? So you can't do that in Ireland because they just, you know, fellas just be going around the corner and whatever they're doing their business. But then there's also, they say the portion sizes are a huge difference.
I assume we're smaller.
As in we're smaller. So we always think they have gigantic, ginormous portion sizes, whereas they come here and they really sort of struggle to understand. They're like, I spent $20 on a piece of food and I didn't even go home with my pockets full.
Yeah.
Different sort of a thing. But what I've noticed personally as well is, Americans, right? And I know quite a few Americans in Ireland, you know, because of my current situation. And I'll tell you something. The two things they can't understand. Number one, taps. They can't get their head around Irish taps. The variety. They never know what to expect. It's like,
like in your kitchen, in your bathroom.
Yeah. To them, it's like an adventure. Every time it's an adventure. Like, because everything
with
is uniform
tap.
In the States. It's always the same.
Like a faucet.
Yeah, so they go in like faucets, right? So, and that's it. They call it tap water comes from the faucet. It's another bizarrely unique American situation, right?
Right.
So you go to the faucet for tap water, but it's not a tap. And then it's all very uniform over there. It's the same. They can never understand that it's such a roulette. You go in Ireland, will it be 1? Will it be 2? Will the hot be on the left? Will the hot be on the right? Will the hot water be working at all? Will it just be cold water? Will the hot water be as hot as taking your skin off?
Right.
Will it be 1 in the middle that no one knows how to work?
Why is it's
always
just uniform in the States.
It's all uniform. And
there's only one. You're trying to tell me that in the States, that, you know, with all their wealth and everything and all of the millionaires that live there and the celebrities and the MTV cribs, you're saying they all have the same tap.
And that's not even the end of it. They all have the same doors as well.
I hear.
I'm telling you. Watch an American when they arrive in Ireland, right? Watch them just looking at doors. They'd be standing there looking at doors, right? Looking at them, wondering. And you'd be wondering what they'd
like
be wondering.
Like it's a time portal.
Yeah. And do you know what it is? All the doors in Ireland are different as well. Over there, they've one type of door. One. They don't know how to use doors in Ireland.
What are you talking?
I'm telling
one
you the
type
truth.
Of door. How That's... can they have one type? They've got a car door and they've got a house door. An outside a house door. They've got an inside a house
they
door.
They don't. They're the same. They're the same. I'm telling you, the hall doors are the same as their.
That's an unusual door in your car there. Yeah, well, I took it from the living room.
Even their press doors are the same. I'm telling you.
Are you saying handles?
That all the handles are exactly the same and all their locking mechanisms are exactly the same. So when they get to Ireland, they don't know what's going on.
Across the vast continent of America, you're saying they have one style of door handle and one style of tap.
That's the truth. That's the truth. I'm telling you, you're going to get Americans are going to say this. It's about time someone spoke up. And you know what else they don't have in America? You know, in America, if you work in one food outlet, right, as a waiter or a server or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can then go to any food outlet and work as a waiter or a server because it's always the same. Right. What they don't have is the Irish system where you walk in and you go, Mother Jesus, how does this work? I don't know where you, how do you, do you queue up over here or do you queue up over there? And what way do you get your stuff? And then how do you pay? You know, you're sitting there going, do you go up here or do you wait here? Or do you have to grab someone? Or do you just leave the money and run away? Or what? They don't have any of that.
Right.
And it confuses them greatly. I hate to admit it, but we are a very confusing country. And I'm going to say it, and it's going to upset people. The Americans actually, I think, maybe, might this time have it right.
Well,
I'm going to say it.
You may say that. Yeah. But I say vive la différence. I say more doors. More taps. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Long live the variation and the variety. Sometimes I want a mixer tap. Sometime I want two separate taps. And I reserve my right to have separate taps and different door handles if I so choose.
That's how adventurous Jim is. Jim is one of those fellas, he goes to a hotel and he gets into the shower, stands under it before he even knows which button does what. It's just a shower roulette of the adventurous.
That's how I roll.
The middle-aged man who still lives life.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. With
InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at InsureMyCars.ie.
Right now, or in the next 5 minutes, is probably when you will be at your most stressed today.
Believe it or not, we are 5 minutes, like Jim says, exactly away from the most stressful time of the day on average. Today, they say now that it starts inside your home is more overwhelming inside the house than it is on the rush or the commute to work. So if you take
inside.
So if you take it into account that, you know, people wake up feeling stressed. So Jim himself, he admitted before he even knew this was a story, he said he woke up this morning and it was the first morning this year that he went, oh, Jesus. Oh, I can't believe I have to live like this. You know, the way sometimes you wake up in the morning that's, with exasperation.
It might be a small exaggeration as to what I actually said. But nonetheless,
he said, this is no life for a man.
the sentiment was relatively accurate.
And he said, and over half of the people who took part in this study, they said it's before they get even out of bed, the stress of the day.
Begins.
So they think about the upcoming work day that starts to pile on. Then they think about the struggle to leave on time. The fear of oversleeping starts to hit because someone always tries to take maybe a sneaky nap. The old snooze button people out there. And then there's losing keys. And some people have the unsteady emotions of children to be dealing with. And that, my God almighty, throws an extra spanner into the works.
A day like today, you've got the rubbish weather.
The rubbish weather to contend with. And that brings up another dilemma of what in the name of God am I supposed to wear? I only realised the kid got sick down me back on the shirt I thought I was going to wear today. And then, like we said, the commute. So 20 minutes and 28 seconds we lose on average extra before we even leave the house out of stressful routines.
And then you arrived in here wet at both ends.
And then I was like a used cotton bud coming in here today, damp on me feet and damp on me head.
Yeah. So this is it. We are now in, well, just moments away.
Moments away.
From the most stressful point of most normal people's day. For us, it's different,
obviously. For us, it's different. We're way earlier. Yeah, we're way earlier than most people. So we're like, you know, Jim is at his most stressed. He's like a werewolf.
In 1970.
When most people are like, you know, still in their slumber. Jim is like, you know, oh, howling at the moon.
get ready to come down from the mountain. Oh,
and I suppose your little thing there doesn't offer any suggestions as to how you de-stress it.
What this
or
is
do you
it.
Just do you just suck it up? Is that the idea?
Well, this is it. It's it
that it can only get better from here.
No advice at all. It just says that's it. That just points at that point of the day and says that's it. That's the worst.
But does it even say it does get a bit better? Does it ease off a little bit?
No.
Or does it you hit it now and you're sticking
that's
it?
That's it. You're in it now. You're just about to be in it. And that's the way it is. And that's why maybe it becomes so annoying when you see influencers or Hollywood stars going through their routines, which are completely unrealistic for normal humans. You know, what do you mean you're stressed at 8:15 in the morning? It's your fault. You know, you need to do what I do. Wake up at 5, do 2 decades of the rosary, followed by 6 boiled eggs. 1 hour in the gym, you know, and most normal human beings can't do that. They're just surviving by trying to plow through as best they can, you know. And
you're talking about like the Mark Wahlberg stuff.
The Mark Wahlbergs.
Who claims he gets up at 3 in the morning and does workouts and does all that mad stuff. And
all these
does
people.
Meditation and...
Yes. Or even
know,
people
goes
like
to mass.
Or even these people like, get out of bed and do an ice bath. Because if you do an ice bath, that's the hardest part of the day over. The hardest part of your day is a bath, is it? That's the hardest part of your day is a bath. You're giving me life advice. And you're saying the hardest part of your day is a bath, a cold one.
I know who you're talking about now.
There's loads of them. The hardest part of your day is finished. If you can do an ice bath, you know that's as difficult as it's going to get. You have no idea the people I'll be dealing with. Look at Jim. 4 hours of hell I put him through. And you're saying
saying that all I'd have to do is to have an ice bath and I'd be grand.
That just means he has to do 4 hours of hell and be freezing.
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova with
InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at InsureMyCars.ie.
They have these recruitment experts every so often come in and they're asked by, you know, I suppose employers, decipher good CVs and tell us what a good CV is and stuff. But as like any job, you do it long enough, you become extraordinarily cynical, don't you? And you start to read between the lines and see meaning where others don't. And one of these recruiting agents has revealed what they see when they look at the CV. Certain terms, you know.
Right.
So, for example, they say if anybody says they're results orientated, as far as they're concerned, they probably mean the Manchester United results and not the ones in the workplace. Because the people who say I'm results orientated are normally people who just sort of like to come in at the end and go, see, look.
Yeah.
We did it.
Yeah.
Aren't we fantastic?
Results orientated means they're one of those people who just shouts at other people, I need results here.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Exactly.
What are all you doing?
I'm only interested in the result.
I've been shouting
how
at you.
How are we supposed to get it? Get the result.
Just sort it out. You're supposed to sort it out.
Yeah.
I can't be shouting at you every day. There's a football match on. And creative. Normally when someone says they're creative, some of these experts would say that just means you're willing to cheat. You're just willing to like find a way around everything rather than to actually just do what you're asked, the way you're asked to do it.
Do you know many people who would claim to not be creative?
I do not. But
creative
then I don't
is one
know
of those
very many honest people, I suppose. You know.
Creative seems to me as one of those things that everybody thinks they are.
Yeah, yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah. I'm very creative. It's like calling yourself an entrepreneur. Are you? You're an entrepreneur, are you? You owe more money.
Yeah.
You know, you're not an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Or the worst of all is if anybody ever describes themselves, me, I'm an ideas man. I'm more of an ideas man. Oh, are you? Oh, right, okay. I'll tell you what an ideas man is. The person who doesn't do any of the work.
Yeah, exactly.
Any of it.
Someone who also describes themselves as innovative.
Yeah.
I'm very innovative. I have a great way of making other people's successes my own. Great way of doing it. I'm very innovative. I can't even say it, so I'm not very good at it. Also, people who say they're very flexible in the workplace. If you're saying you're very flexible in the workplace, it means you're willing to do loads of jobs, all of them badly, and keep jumping from one to the other because someone else has to keep cleaning up your mess after mess after mess.
Brilliant. So flexible actually means I've got a really short attention span.
Yes.
I get bored easily.
Yeah. I've no problem making a mess of things. Somebody always cleans it up. But I'm willing to keep trying. Strategic normally means you're a schemey git, always willing to play people against each other.
Brilliant.
You know,
so that's what. So your CV, you know, because let's face it, we all lie in our CVs. Everybody, there's nobody who hasn't told lies on a CV.
Well, yeah. Well,
even if you have to make up a hobby because you think it makes it sound more, it makes you sound more interesting or something.
And honestly, I'd say I haven't, but that's because I've never had a CV. I don't know how I've ever gotten a job. And if I did have a CV, I would lie on it as much as anyone else.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Target driven, like I'd be one of, you know, willing to stab anyone in the back to get what you want. A self-starter. I'd start a fight rather than get to the bottom of a situation. And thinking outside the box. Basically, you're not suitable for being anywhere inside the environment, which is the box. Therefore, you can't help but think about what's going on outside the box. That's definitely...
That's very good.
I can see you nodding the head at me. Thinking about everything that's going on outside and nothing that's going on inside. I can see it.
If the box is representative of the workplace...
Yes.
Yes, you are definitely thinking outside the box.
I am. That's what I bring into the box. Is a complete lack of knowledge about what's happening
in the box.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.
With insuremycars.ie, get low prices and save on your car insurance today at insuremycars.ie.